What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Gentleman's Roundtable Body Recomposition. I'm going to get better at saying that one day, but that wasn't that smooth. I'm going to try it again. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Gentleman's Roundtable Body Recomposition. I'm your host, Jeff Pacman, here with Coach Taters and Austin Chan Fitness, and we're here to fuck you guys up with some fitness. And yeah, that's right. I said it. We're not a censored podcast, all right? Fuck all that. This is not that kind of podcast. And yeah, how you guys doing today?
You can go first, Andy.
I started off with a very annoying day because my daughter has been getting on my nerves. Mm. And bless her, I know she's the loveliest girl. One of the loveliest. But she just didn't want to get dressed for school. So from the hallway into the actual daycare area. And I was running late for my gym sesh. And it was all just a bit annoying. And I just wanted to be like, pick her up from the scruff of the neck, chuck her in daycare, be like, off your pop, I'm going to the bloody gym, mate. But she's like, Daddy, I want to be monkey first. I want to be a monkey first, hanging from like the thing that you hang your like shirts on in the car, you know, the little handle. She's like trying to hang from that. She's like, I want to be a monkey first. And I'm just like, oh, I'm going to be late for the gym and I want to get my zone two in and my lifts. Anyway, so my day started off a bit annoying, but then got to the gym, had a good sesh, cheeky little pump, got my zone two in. And then I spoke to someone on the phone while I was doing my zone two, and they were like, well, it doesn't look like a very intense workout. You're not even sweating. And I was like, oh, you shit. Pissed me off as well. So
you got me doing that hit cardio, Taters.
Yeah, I thought you call yourself a fitness trainer. That's what she said to me last time. It's my dad's girlfriend. She's probably not listening to this. So fuck's sake.
So you're back in the gym now, and how's it feel to be back in the gym? I know you're training from home for quite a while.
Yeah, mate, it feels so good, actually. This gym that I've joined is top-notch. Like, it's huge. I'm shocked at how big this place is. And, like, every day I'm, like, finding a new room with, like, stuff in it. It's crazy how big this place is. And, yeah, no, it's awesome. And I was saying to my friends, like, the good thing about working out at home in my garage is I am the biggest, most lean person in my home gym. And I am not the biggest nor the leanest person in this gym. Like, there's some big boys knocking around there, some people in really good shape. And it's great because I feel really motivated by that. But I also, part of me is like a bit of imposter syndrome creeps in a little bit. Like, oh, I help people build muscle, but yet all of these people are so huge. But then as soon as I leave the gym and I see everyone like normal
yeah,
people,
yeah.
I'm just like, I can help everyone. You know, come on by.
Yeah. Sometimes, I mean, you're looking at like the top fucking 1% of people who are actually consistent with the gym. It's not like a lot of people. And I don't go to like a bodybuilding gym. Most of the time I go to Planet Fitness or I go to the college. And like, a lot of times I know that like I'm probably one of the strongest people there, which is crazy because I'm not that strong. But also, like, if you look around, you get really good content ideas because you see the kind of shit that the average everyday person is doing, like lat pull downs where they pull the bar all the way down to their fucking crotch, you know, just weird stuff that you're like, well, you're going to like, not only is this just like not effective, you're also just going to fucking hurt yourself. like just loading up the stack on lat pull downs and just like bouncing
Yeah,
just ripping it.
Even
crazy.
Even like not that too, for sure. Like, I've noticed that there's a lot of people doing stuff that's not technically as sound as it could be, let's say. But then also, like, all of the, because I've been working out in a CrossFit style gym using just free weights, or even in my gym, I don't really have any cable machines. So all the machines that I haven't used since like 2014, and even then I didn't really use them that much. I was mostly a runner and boxing at that time, so I didn't really use the machines all that much. And so it's been so long, and so to have to get on and find the machine, get on, adjust it to make it fit right for me, even like the hamstring curl, is like there's three or four things you can change up to make it fit. And I'm like, okay, this is fine, like I'll figure it out, which I did. But it makes me really have an understanding for a newbie coming in and like having to start, like, not only is it hard to come into the gym, but they're going to be super self-conscious of like getting on that machine. And not only do they have to try and do the correct technique, but they've got to figure out how that machine works. What do all of these like buttons do to get it into place? Like, do they have it in the right place? They probably don't know. And so,
I mean, that's what's cool, right? Is like, we go into a gym and we like, we don't think about this stuff. We just fucking, and like you are right now, because you haven't been going to a gym, you haven't been using these machines. But like, you know, somebody like me or Austin, we go into a gym and we crank it into the right position and we go. But it's like that's good content, is to just to help more people, right? Is like to help the fucking beginners who don't know like how to adjust the bar that like puts your feet in the right position on the hamstring curl, you know, like that stuff. I never see anybody making content on like the bare bones, like this is how you set up the hamstring curl machine. Like, nobody fucking does that, you know. I've never seen that piece of content. But it's like, that's what's gonna help people the most. It's like, not the fucking like, this is how you fucking contract the best, or like this is how you build the most muscle. It's like, that may get the most clicks and likes and views, but how you actually help people is to break shit down to like the bare bones. And so that's cool that you have that perspective right now, because that's, you could help a lot of people with that perspective, is what I'm saying.
And I definitely plan to, because it's a bit of a eye-opener, to be honest, going into the gym and having to get used to all of it myself. And I feel pretty comfortable being there and doing it all, but yeah, for a beginner I can kind of empathize with how overwhelming and how self-conscious they might feel trying to figure that out. So I'd love to help them navigate that a little better somehow. So yeah, I'm going to be starting to make some content on that probably.
Is this a gym that you can film at? Like, do you see other people filming and stuff? Is it cool there?
It's cool to film there. I don't think anyone would have an issue with filming there. I see the gym themselves share posts when they're tagged in them. But I've only been there a week. And the fact that I'm already a little bit nervous kind of going into the gym and finding my own bearings, I haven't had the courage to crank my camera out yet. You know, yeah. I mean,
are you afraid? Are you gonna afraid somebody's gonna be like, they're gonna be like, are you good? You got a problem? Everything good?
No.
Staring? Why are you staring at me?
I just didn't realize what you were referring to. So no. I mean, I try not to look at anyone in there, keep my eyes to myself, you know what I mean? But, yeah, I mean, I would like to start filming myself in there. I'm sure other people do. But I haven't even worn my Coach Tater's top in there. And you know me, I barely take that thing off.
You love your Coach Tater's fucking,
I know,
hoodies.
I take it off at the car because I feel kind of strange going in there with, like, on day one, like, coach coming through. Yeah, I'm going to do my training. Yeah, look at me, coach coming through. I kind of feel a bit like that. I know I shouldn't probably, but I just feel a bit off, especially some of the, because I'm following a new program as well, the same program that you guys have been following. And a lot of the movements are pretty new to me. So getting in and out of some of the exercises, like the katana or whatever it's called, the tricep extension things, and I'm like pretty much hanging up by my ankles by the end of that.
Yeah. Those are awkward, but yeah, those are fun too once you get the hang of them. So, side note, side tangent. What is your guys' opinion on like this whole gym culture of people filming themselves in the gym and then getting angry or upset when people like walk in front of their film? They walk in front of their video. Like, this is all over fucking TikTok. This is what that guy Joey Swole, if you guys have seen his stuff, I'm sure you have, on TikTok, like that's what he blew up his whole account from, is like he calls out these people for getting frustrated when people walk in front of their gym videos and stuff. And like, I don't know, I think he's absolutely right. I think he's absolutely right. And I just want to know like what your guys' opinions are, if there's any devil's advocate.
No devil's advocate.
Yeah, nope. Yeah, I totally agree, because at the end of the day, like, even though like we all pay money to go there, it's a fucking shared public space. It's like, that's why we all pay the same rate to go there. Because if we were to sit by our own fucking gym, we'd have to fork out tens of thousands of dollars just to do that. But no, we all kind of pitch in for that shared public space. So we all kind of have that same right to be in there. And like, yeah, even if I'm filming, if someone walks in front of my camera, it's like, it's not a big deal because they have the right to do that. It's not my fucking private studio where I can film whatever the fuck I want. If anything, the person filming should be the more courteous one and try to set up so that they're not blocking anyone else's way trying to get through. And most of the people there are just there to fucking work out, not to like film their own like whatever content and shit.
Yeah. And do you ask other people, like let's say like you're in a crowded area or something, do you just not film? Or do you ask people like, hey, just to let you know I'm filming a couple sets, is it cool like if you're in my video a little bit? Like, do you ask that? Because I don't. I usually set up the camera really discreetly, and then I do a couple sets and I make sure I don't get anybody in there. But like, I know some people do ask for like the courtesy, like they just ask like, is it cool or not?
Mm-hmm. You might potentially have to ask a lot of people. Go on, mate.
Yeah. I was gonna say I don't really. I try to face the camera so that I'm not getting anyone in the background. But obviously, if it's like during like peak hours or something, it's pretty unavoidable to get someone else in the shot.
Yeah, that dude. It'd be so nice if I had like a nice apartment gym that I could film all this shit in and like really feel more comfortable filming. Cause like, mm-hmm. I don't know, it's there's a mental block with me and trying to film in like a crowded gym. It is just not fun at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel that as well with this new gym. Like, I'm like, how the hell am I going to break my camera out? Especially if I'm like trying to talk through how to set up like a leg press, cable leg press or something. And like, I'm on my own. Like, what the fuck am I going to do? Take the leg press for like 10 minutes while I'm talking through how to adjust the settings on it on my own? Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, I'm not going to do that. Maybe I'll have someone come and film me and I'll do it like super quick or something. But I don't know. Yeah, I feel kind of off about it. But it's definitely easier if you're on your own. But there is things like I have the gym here. And it's great, but I don't have a lot of the machines that a beginner, who is probably the most important person that needs to see these types of videos, I don't have the machines that they would preferentially be using, like leg extension, hamstring curl. You know, if I was going to be training an absolute beginner that hasn't squatted before, you know, to build their legs, it's probably going to be get on the leg extension, start doing some reps there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not going to be get on the barbell back squats straight away. So
that's intimidating for new gym goers, to get them moving with a barbell. I find that a lot of people that I work with online, they even if I do program like some barbell work, they will use the Smith machine because they're nervous. They don't mm-hmm. trust themselves on the regular rack. They don't want to look stupid. They don't want to look stupid. And I understand that, because I remember when I first started using the bar, it was intimidating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't know if this is the same as the gyms you guys go to, but I find that the usually like the power rack area is one of the more popular areas.
Mm.
And so obviously, like, you know, a lot of the more experienced and the meatheads are going to hang around there. And so it's going to be more intimidating for the beginners to even step in that area. And like make themselves look a fool in front of all like these like jacked and more experienced people.
Yeah. And what's crazy is usually like Planet Fitness is where a lot of my clients go, and they will tell me they're even intimidated to go into the dumbbell area or the Smith machine area in Planet Fitness. So it's like even at a beginner type gym, the beginners are afraid to step into the area where there's more people, that probably that's where the most fit people are hanging out at Planet Fitness. They're probably hanging out in the areas where there's dumbbells and they can get on the Smith machines, and there's a lot more cable stacks and stuff like that over there. So the most fit people, and it's also the busiest area. So a lot of people, when I'm coaching them, I will purposely like only throw in a couple of those movements in their first program. I'll like slowly introduce them over to that section over time, and they'll tell me how fucking scared they are to go over there. And it's you know, I forget how intimidating the gym is for a lot of people, especially after COVID, mm-hmm. especially after 2020. There's a lot of gym anxiety, and I'm noticing this a lot. A lot of people want to train from home now. Not a lot of people want to go into gyms. They have gym anxiety. They're worried about, you know, all this stuff. And it's a different like atmosphere than it was, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. I would maybe even take it a little further than just gym anxiety and say that I would say more people have social anxiety through the lack of interaction over the last couple of years. Because everyone's been, you know, made to stay home more often. And I know that it's affected me as well. Like, I noticed that if people invite me to go out and do something, I'm more inclined to be like, nah, I'll just stay home. So I think that plays a part in it as well. The fact that like you're going to have to go into somewhere, talk to people, and be like, "Hey, can I work in here or something?" Like,
what is Austin? Sort of what thing. Is Austin laughing at right
I
now?
I know. I feel super self-conscious now
because you're saying all that, and I wanted to say, "Yeah, I 100% agree," or "Oh, 100%." And then I thought about Andy's fucking joke, 100% or whatever.
Oh yeah, Andy was trying to do an American accent of when Americans say 100%, and it was like. It was the most ridiculous.
100%.
100%.
Or 100%.
Yeah.
I find that I say that a lot. I say, oh, yeah, 100%. Like, I say that a lot.
Or 100%. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Or 100%.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So, if anything, like, I was self-conscious about Andy making fun of me.
Okay. That's funny. I was, like, spilling my heart out there, man. I can't talk to anyone. And Austin's fucking just giggling his face off over there.
Austin was giggling. He's cracking up. But it's good to see you smile, bro, especially after recent circumstances. So, update us on what's going on with you, man. Are you having surgery? Like, update the listeners a little bit about what happened.
Yeah, 100%. So if you guys have not been following me on social media, I've been posting updates on there. Basically, I tore my bicep tendon right off the bone, and so it's like it's what's considered a complete tear. So the tendon's not even attached there anymore. So in order for me to get back into previous shape, I have to undergo surgery and get the tendon reattached into the bone, And the funny thing was, like, this wasn't even from doing biceps. It was literally from me, like, yanking myself too hard into the leg press. And then...
That's fucking crazy,
dude. And then I just heard... All of a sudden, I just heard a loud crunch. And then I saw my bicep. It just wasn't in the same place anymore. I was like, fuck.
How much Legion Pulse did you have that day?
Honestly, the scoop of stim and scoop of non-stim.
Oh, that's it? Dude, I thought maybe you were double stimmed up. That's... Dude... Mm-hmm. That is insane. You must have been pulling so fucking hard on that leg press, bro.
Yeah.
Mate, that is mental.
I've never heard of that. Like somebody tearing a bicep on a non-bicep exercise. That's crazy.
Yeah, I've never heard about that either. It's also like crazy how that shit just never... I mean, that's why they call it an accident, right? You just never expect it. It's like the thing you're doing that you least expect it from.
Yeah, it's like it's not while you're doing a set of like heavy ass preacher curls that you're going too heavy.
Yeah, I'm not doing like a one rep max fucking strict curl test, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's crazy to like even think about how like fragile bicep tendons are. Because yeah. It is a common injury. It's a mm-hmm. common injury. People do it a lot. Yeah. But I didn't think it was like I what I mostly thought I saw people doing it from is like people who are on steroids, who they're basically their tendons, ligaments, and joints haven't like caught up to their overall strength capacity. So they're like mm-hmm. building this massive amount of strength and muscle, but their like joints, ligaments, and tendons haven't like built up to that. But I don't know. I've never heard of it happening from my dad actually tore his bicep drunk arm wrestling when I was like 20. And mm-hmm. he was arm wrestling with his friends and he fucking tore his bicep. It was crazy. I watched it. It was nuts.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people get injured from arm wrestling.
yeah.
Actually.
Have you guys seen that movie? Thing. That movie with fuck, who is it? It's basically an arm wrestling fucking movie. I'm gonna look it up. But anyways, sorry.
Haven't seen it, no.
No, yeah, I haven't seen it either. Yeah, but one of the trainers that I work with and we're pretty close, she actually was the one who like took me to a hospital and everything. She like literally a year ago, she also tore her bicep tendon, and it was like from the freakiest thing. She just like decided to just jump up and do some chin ups, and then it just snapped.
And there's no like explanation as to why this may have happened, like.
Yeah, it wasn't from overexerting herself. Like, she could normally rep out fucking chin-ups. Like, nothing.
God, that's so fucking weird. Like, yeah. Oh, I wonder what the conditions are that make you more susceptible to it.
Yeah, and that's, like, that's one of the things, too. Like, after posting this on social media, I've got a few questions about, like, oh, so how do I prevent this for myself? Because, you know, usually this kind of stuff is like, it's probably, like, the number one fear a lot of people have, just, like, straight up injuring themselves from lifting. And it's really hard to say, because it wasn't from an isolated event where I was strictly training biceps and overloading the tendon itself. And yeah, so it's really hard to say. It could be like, you know, maybe I just have a predisposition to injuring myself more than someone else. Maybe it was from like years of overuse or doing stuff incorrectly. And then you just don't feel it until one day your tendons just don't handle it anymore. And it just suddenly gives.
Yeah. But you, you don't have a lot of injuries like yourself, right? Like,
no, I mean, I've had overuse injuries like here and there, and then it's caused like a little bit of like tendonitis like in my knees and like other places, but like they've like come and gone, but nothing like super serious. Like, this is my first time like actually like tearing or breaking something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, wild. Okay, so you're having surgery next week?
Yeah, scheduled for next Friday.
Okay, and they're just gonna reattach it. What's the recovery look like?
Honestly, not too bad. He said I'm gonna have to be in a cast and like not move it for like 4 to 6 weeks after the surgery. The surgery itself is actually really quick. He said it's like 45 minutes.
Crazy.
The entire surgery. Yeah. Wow. And after that, I'm just gonna recover, and I'm pretty much gonna like lock or freeze my arm into place until the because basically what they're doing, they're gonna go in. I don't know if Andy's gonna feel queasy about this, but they're gonna basically cut my arm open. They're gonna go in, fish the tendon out, because then it's pieces like rubber band that just kind of like snapped away. They're gonna fish the tendon out, drill another insertion point into my bone. They're gonna put the tendon back into place, and then I think they're gonna like stitch it against like some sort of pulley, and then close everything back up. Wait for my bone and everything to heal back over, and then after that, it's pretty much good to go. They said I can start loading it again, and then from there, it's just about like building up my strength back up. And also, he said the biggest thing is just building my confidence back up, because a lot of people like they're like freaked out by that. They don't want to like lift super heavy or just like go straight back into it.
I feel like your confidence will come back pretty quick, man. Like, maybe it probably doesn't feel like it right now, but I feel like you're gonna be back to lifting the same way pretty soon. But yeah.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
Hey, I feel like it just doesn't feel like that right now, I'm sure. But like, mm-hmm. and it's a scary thing. Obviously, you never want it to happen again, and you never want it to happen to the other arm. You know, you never want any injuries to happen ever. But it's like, if you do this long enough, you're gonna get some sort of injury. Like that's just the case, you know, and that's with any sport. Any kind of athleticism that you're performing in, like way less than if we were doing something like MMA or jiu-jitsu or CrossFit or, you know, something like that, I feel like the injury rates are much higher. The way that we train, we're not very susceptible to injury. Like, it's just not, like, I can't remember the last time I got injured in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyways.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling myself to stay optimistic.
Cool. All right, bro. Well, I'm
speedy recovery, mate.
Yeah, speedy recovery. Thanks. With the surgery, man. I'm Thanks, sure it'll guys. Go smooth. Sounds like you're just going to be reattaching the old tendon. Mm-hmm. And that's crazy. They're going to drill a new insertion point into your arm. Like, I wonder what that looks like and how to, like, what do they actually attach it to? If they're going to drill, what do they attach the tendon to? Do
they put, I think, like, they're going to stick something in there so that it, like, it hooks back. The tendon kind of hooks back into there. It's like a, probably like a stitch or something.
Because normally what is a tendon normally attached to? Just the bone, right?
Yeah. It's literally like, it's pretty much like inserted into like the bone.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be interesting to find out like what they actually put in the hole to attach the tendon to. Cause I bet they have they could show you like, oh, it's this little like, you know, plastic piece or metal piece or whatever. I'd just be interested to know what that is.
Yeah. I've thought about like Googling what the surgery looks like just to see it. So like watching out over that kind of stuff.
Coach Taters might want to watch that.
I break my arm. I broke my arm when I was 13. Had to have an operation on two bones. Metal plates. Since been removed. But I had a cast up here.
Mm.
Couldn't move my arm for, I can't remember, 8 weeks, maybe 3 months or something. I took the cast off. My arm was super hairy and was like atrophy state. And, but now got the gains.
Yeah. Look at that.
Fucking Austin was in the gym, what, the day after?
Yeah.
Yeah. Doing.
Were you in the gym the day after doing cable chest flies, bro?
Like 2 days after. But yes, I was. Doing cable chest flies on my right arm.
That's fucking funny, bro. And so the research shows that like if you train like one arm, the other arm won't atrophy as bad. Is that true? Or like,
yeah, there's a little bit of carryover effect. Although I don't want to push it too hard right now because I don't want too much hypertrophy right now because they're gonna go in anyway. Yeah. Although I know I'm not gonna lose gains in like fucking 2 weeks or even less than a week now, exactly 1 week actually for my surgery.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think you'll lose much gains at all, dude. And if you do, they'll come back quick. All right. So we got some questions this week. So you guys want to dive into some questions?
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Austin, I think you had the first one.
Cool. So I had a question regarding body fat percentage. We can also kind of dive into more like body fat percentage overall, like something that us coaches, do we use them with clients, and also like how we implement them and like, I guess, our thoughts on it overall. But the specific question was, I have 16% body fat, but I can't see my abs. Any help? Question mark.
Jeff's gone. I've got 16% body fat, but I can't see my abs. Help. So I would say the first thing is, what's been the way of measuring your body fat? Because if you're using a scale or if you're just estimating it, it could be that you're not actually 16% body fat. So maybe you're higher than that. And that's one of the reasons why you can't see your abs. The other thing could be that your abs are not developed as much as you maybe think they are. And therefore, they're just not popping through. So you could be still somewhat lean, but you just don't have very developed abs. And therefore, that's why they're not really showing. So a combination of maybe continuing to diet and to, you know, keep working on ab work, training your abs just like any other muscle, train it close to failure once or twice a week. I don't know, two exercises each time, you know, that kind of thing, to develop the core and to grow muscle in the abdomen while continuing to reduce body fat percentage down to maybe 10 to 12%, something that's kind of sustainable. But, you know, you have to figure out if the way you're measuring body fat is accurate or not. So that would be the question back, is like, how are you measuring that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I 100% agree with that response. Definitely, that's probably the biggest thing I'd say people, that's where they go wrong, is just they don't know how to measure body fat percentage correctly. And secondly, even if they do have the devices for it, they're not accurate at all. So people just have this kind of warped perception of what the actual body fat percentage looks like. And then even then, it still varies a lot depending on individuals. Like, some people just carry more fat on their upper body. Some people just carry more fat on their lower body. And yeah, it's just hard to tell.
Another thing to note is, if you have a scale like I do, for example, the Renfo scale, right, is the one that I use. You can change it from normal to athlete, depending on, it asks you how often you work out or something like that. If it's normal, right, if for me it's normal, I'm like 20-something percent. If I'm athlete, I'm like 15% body fat. So, I mean, to be honest, I don't think that I'm as high as the normal, and I don't think I'm as low as the athletic. I think I'm somewhere in between. I don't think that it's an accurate measure of body fat percentage, really, but I would say that it could be that you're measuring yourself on athlete and it's just giving you a reading, if you're using the scale, that is.
Do you know what it does when you switch it from athlete to normal?
Do I know what it does? To be honest, yeah. I think that the Renfo scale is not the best, because I'm pretty sure that it's just a calculation based off of height and weight and age, because I have never, ever seen it where my weight has gone up and my body fat percentage hasn't gone up, or my weight has gone down and my body fat percentage hasn't gone down. Oh. They're always in line with each other, regardless of what's going on. And I've had my clients who've got the same scale and notice the same thing, because I've asked them to kind of track it. So even though my clients have gained muscle and lost fat, it doesn't show that, you know, they've lost weight and increased muscle. It just shows linear matching correlation between the two. So for that instance, the Renfo scale doesn't seem to be, and I could be wrong, but from the data that I've got from it, it just seems to be based on not actually bioelectrical impedance, but a calculation. So that would raise the question, it's like, well, if you're having to ask me if I'm athletic or not, surely that is like a problem if you're, the way that you're supposed to measure body fat can't pick up on that, basically. Because you're saying that you measure body fat percentage using bioelectrical impedance. Why does it matter what I am?
Yeah. And also it's like, what the fuck do you mean by athletic either? It's like, someone could be in shape, but not an athlete. Or someone could be in just like a straight up like athlete at a high performing level.
Also, yeah. A lot of people think they're athletes when they're not fucking athletes.
Yeah.
No, but I had it on athlete for a while, and it said it like I was at 16% as well. And whoever asked that question, don't worry, I didn't have abs at that point either. But as soon as I switched it to normal, it was like 24%. And I was like, that's a bloody bit harsh, mate. So, I mean, I was probably around 18 at that point. I was probably around 18%. So,
I think people severely under, they like people severe, people always think they're at a lower body fat percentage than they actually are.
Yep.
Like I have people DM me and they're like, you know, it's usually kids like in their teens, and they follow me from TikTok or whatever, and they're like, "Hey bro, I'm at 12% body fat. Like, do you think I should cut or bulk?" And it's, then they, I'm like, "Cool, send me a photo." Right? And they send me a photo, dude, and they're clearly at like 25 to 30% body fat. Like, like they've got another like 20, 30 pounds to lose at least. And I like it's all it's soul crushing, bro. It's mm-hmm. soul crushing when you tell somebody that, bro. You got quite a bit of ways to go. You got like maybe another year of fucking cutting to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, funny story on my new client intake questionnaire form. I used to have body fat percentage. Like, what do you think your estimated body fat percentage is? But I've like over the years I've taken it out because I'm just like. Because I just kept getting like, oh yeah, I think I'm like 15-16%, and it's like double what they think they are.
And it's
like
a female.
It's double. My estimations are double what theirs is. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna stop doing this because like.
And honestly, dude, it takes a really trained eye to be like, yeah, you're at this percentage body fat. Like, mm-hmm. I even as a coach, I can admit, dude, I'm not good at estimating people's body fat percentage just because people hold fat in such different ways. People hold fat in such different ways. Like even my own, even my own body fat percentage, dude, I have no idea. I think, you know, I have no idea. I could ask you guys and you guys would probably be way closer. But I also have like, you know, there's this thing where you have like goggles over your, like you have fucking goggles over your own transformation. You can't see what your coach can see, what your friends can see who are in the industry. Like you're not going to be as accurate as a third party who has like, no, they're not worried about hurting your fucking feelings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, you don't need to know your body fat percentage. I think people like to know it for whatever reason, but it really doesn't matter. The question really is, if you're training to look and feel better, the question is, do you look as good as you want to? I suppose within reason, like mm-hmm. not men's health cover model
for you,
like for, yeah, you. For you,
like
realistically, yeah. Do you look better than you did? Are you making progress? Do you feel like you could continue to make some progress if you kept going or made some small adjustments? That's like, have you got to a point where you could realistically be happy with where you're at? Yes or no, then keep going or change direction a little bit. Rather than you know, focusing on what your body fat percentage is, and there is more accurate ways of tracking that, but it becomes more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And even then, the so-called like superior like DEXA scans and stuff like that, they're still off. They're still off by 1 to sometimes 3 percentage points.
Yeah. Even the guy that did DEXA told me that I went in for a DEXA scan, and. This was after I finished my cut like two and a half years ago. And I just finished my cut. I had one done before and one done after. And I was showing it around 15%. And he was like, you look a little leaner. He said to me, have you like reintroduced carbohydrate yet? And I said, no, why? He said like, because if you'd like carb loaded, you would be holding on to more glycogen, you'd be holding on to more water, and that would be considered lean mass. Right. Therefore your fat percentage would be less,
so it's almost
still have the same,
so it's almost better to go in, but sorry I mean cut you off, so it's almost better to go into a DEXA scan like completely depleted, like you don't want to carb up, like you don't want to replenish your glycogen before you go in there.
No, he was saying that had I had replenished my glycogen and carb loaded, I would have shown as leaner probably.
Oh, okay, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Damn. That's
so crazy. And at the start, I probably would have been carb loaded because at the start of my cut, because I hadn't really started, so I was just eating everything, you know. And then to go in, and I was probably slightly carb depleted and hadn't started to refill up on carbs as much. But there's a way that you can game it. Like if I'd have gone in the next day having carb loaded, it may have shown that I'd been like 13 or 14%.
Crazy.
By just having more carbohydrate. And I'm not saying that I would have had less fat. I wouldn't have had less fat. But on the reading, I would have shown up as a lower body fat percentage because I have more lean body mass. Is this making sense?
Yeah. No, it makes perfect sense. Did you have visible abs at that time at 15%? Like, or was it only with good lighting and with like a flex going on?
I'd say I had visible abs, yeah.
At 15%, that's good, dude. That's wow.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think I would probably a little bit, I think it was probably a little bit less than 15%, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I was working with my coach at the time, who thought that I was at like 8 or 9. And I don't think that I was at 8 or 9. But I don't think I was like quite as high
thin.
As 15.
That's like paper thin, dude. 8 or 9.
Yeah, I don't think I was that lean, but I think I was probably between 12, 13, 14, probably.
Yeah, because most people don't have visible abs at 15%. Mm-hmm. So that's why I was like, you must have like really good ab development or something, because that's rare. A lot of people don't have abs at 15%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and like Andy said, it really depends on how much muscular development you have. Because I think I remember when I look at my progress pictures from way back in the day, years ago, like I would honestly guesstimate that I am around the same body fat percentage as back when I started, but like because I significantly have more muscle on my body, it looks like I'm leaner. But really I think like I'm still around the same body fat percentage.
Mm. Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, it's crazy what packing on some muscle can do to your physique, even, you know, and then you get leaner and you're like, shit, I don't have to diet as hard as I did before to get to a spot where I like the way I look, you know. This time around, dude, I feel like I feel so depleted right now, dude, to be honest. Like, I've fucking been on this cut for 10 weeks and I even took a 2-week maintenance break. And I'm feeling it. Like, I'm definitely feeling the cut.
How deep are you in the deficit?
Shit, I'm probably on any given day, like 600 to 800 calories deficit right now. And I'm trying to speed things up and just kind of get it over with too. But I'm also like, fuck, dude, I don't want to rebound off. So I kind of want to. My calories are pretty low. They're, you know, anywhere between 1800 and like 2200, and I like, if when I get towards the 1800, I'm fucking starving. I'm fucking starving, dude. So I've actually had to implement intermittent fasting. Like, I've been pushing back my first meal to like 3:30, just because like, it psychologically, I can eat way more fucking food in a shorter amount of time. I don't go to bed hungry. I don't have cravings and start like reaching for shit in the pantry that I know I'm not going to track, like shit like that. And this is like, for anybody listening who's like, damn, you know, like these coaches are talking about the same stuff that I go through. It's like, we all go through the same shit. We all have the same struggles. Just because we're coaches doesn't mean that we do everything perfectly. And fat loss fucking sucks. It sucks for everybody. It's not fun. It's not easy. And it gets progressively harder as you get leaner and leaner. And like, this is my, like, I actually, my whole purpose of this cut is to like push the envelope and see how lean I can get without losing muscle. Like, see how lean I can actually get this time, which sucks, dude. I feel like shit. My workouts suck. I haven't been getting as good as sleep. And energy levels suck. They're constantly crashing and up, back up, and then crashing. And so feeling like I need more caffeine. Being in a deficit sucks. And, you know, I can relate with my clients a lot right now. Let me put it that way.
I just started my diet.
Yeah. Sucks.
You're making me feel excited about it.
But you know what? It's like, I wouldn't be doing it if it wasn't worth it. Straight up. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be walking around at fucking 20% body fat, 20+% body fat. Like, I don't feel good about myself when I'm at that high of a body fat percentage.
Yeah. And one of the things I've heard too, kind of along the lines of that, it's like, you know, some people don't get the choice to be in a calorie deficit. And the fact that we can choose to do this in the pursuit of like a better physique, it's like that's something in itself.
It's privilege, man. We're it's willful suffering. So no matter what, you're going to suffer in life. So might as well like go through it intentionally, like go through some willful suffering, put yourself through some shit that you have to be disciplined at. And you know, it sucks, but you're going to do it anyways. And then when stuff comes your way, that's life on life's terms that you actually have to deal with because you don't have the choice. It's a little bit easier to deal with because you already are basically adhering to that suffering on your own. So then when you go through shit that's out of your control, it's easier to swallow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that actually brings something, I wouldn't say funny, but like something that I've been having just a lot of thoughts about with my injury. I don't want to make this about myself, but it's that whole like thing where me just trying to reframe my mindset around this whole thing and trying to convince myself that like, hey, this isn't as shitty as it could have been, because I hurt myself, you know, doing something that I love, doing something that I thoroughly enjoy, and it was in the pursuit of bettering myself and bettering my health and bettering my fitness rather than, you know, later in life. Because, you know, when you go into the ER, you see a lot of people that, you know, they're suffering from a lot of like stuff that's like typically out of their control and from years of neglect and living a sedentary lifestyle and just not taking care of themselves. And so like the fact that I was there because of something that I was doing and just being physically active, and also because I am physically in shape and active, that makes my recovery process just so much quicker and better than it would have been if like I didn't take care of my health.
Yeah, very true. Very true, man. We're fortunate, you know, and a lot of people, you know, they don't get a chance to, you know, have these kinds of problems where it's like you made a choice to better yourself and get better, and it's a minor setback for a major comeback, dude. Like, you know, that's like anything that we go through. It's like, it's a minor setback. It's minor. It's super minor. And I know it's like, I'm not trying to minimize like what you're going through or anything like that, but I just know that like, it's not going to hinder you in what you're trying to accomplish, you know? Yeah. Anyways, T General looks like he's ready to sign off. Let's sign off. Yeah. I think we're done. I need to go meet up and play some pickleball. I got rained out today in my appointment that I had earlier to play with a bunch of people and got rained out. It's been fucking rain nonstop, dude. Middle of June, and it's fucking raining like every day.
It's not raining here. It's like beautiful sunny weather.
It's actually, what's nice. Funny is it's actually sunny right now where I'm at. What it was like pouring a second ago when I was trying to play. So anyways,
in the UK, it's like 33 degrees.
Oh my
God. Oh, hang on.
That's Celsius. Convert it.
What's that in Fahrenheit?
Yeah. 18?
I was going to say 33. That's how I know anything above 30 is pretty hot.
80? It's 80?
I don't even know how to spell Fahrenheit.
I got some buddies down in Texas, in Austin, and they're like, yeah, it's 103 degrees right now.
Humid. Oh, 91.
I heard Texas 91. Going through it.
91. Yeah.
Mm,
that's pretty hot, man. You got to be near some water. You'll be near some water for that kind of heat.
Mm-hmm.
Cool it side.
It's 57 right now. Where am I?
Fuck, dude. Yeah, I'm ready to get out of the Northwest. It's gross.
Yeah, I got to go to the East Coast. That's where all the fitness influencers be hanging out.
East Coast. All right, y'all.
Okay, thanks for listening.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye now.
See ya.
Leave a 5-star review.